All There Is, the title, All There Is, has a special connection with StoryCorps Atlanta, doesn't it?
It does. We had a wonderful, wonderful facilitator in Atlanta. And a facilitator is the person who's, you know, we've done 40,000 interviews with about 80,000 people in StoryCorps. People come in pairs to the booth. And the facilitator is the person who sits with you in the booth. And basically, the facilitators call themselves, you know, bearing witness to these interviews. They help you get comfortable and run the equipment and are there to help if you need help. And Lily Love was one of our fantastic, wonderful facilitators out of Atlanta. And she passed away about a year ago, suddenly. And we dedicated the book to Lily Mae Love, who was born in 1957 and died in 2010, late 2010. And the book is named after something that she said during a StoryCorps interview, that love is all there is.
Yeah. Well, over the last 9 years or so, StoryCorps has archived, well, more than 40,000 interviews. How difficult was it to cull the 36 or so stories, or interviews, I should say, for your book?
Out of the 40,000 interviews we've done, they're the stories that just you know, kind of explode off the page. The book wrote itself. I mean, it was easy to do. We take about 1,000 transcripts to bring it down to the several dozen stories. Out of the tens of thousands of interviews, the facilitators mark what stories might be appropriate for a book. And I remember, you know, sitting with transcripts in a hotel lobby somewhere on the road, and just reading some of these stories and thinking, oh my God, you know. And those were the stories that ended up in the book.
Well, you divided the book, All There Is, into three different sections or three different chapters.
Yeah, there's a chapter called Found, a chapter called Lost, and a chapter called Found at Last, which is people who find love when they hadn't expected to. And I think ultimately this is a book as much about love stories as it is about hope, because, you know, when you read these stories, there can be no doubt that if you have yet to find love, you should never give up hope, because it's going to tap you on the shoulder when you least expect it.
Have you found that most people have a difficult time sharing their most intimate feelings or stories in a situation where they know anyone can hear it?
You know, it's quite the opposite. And this is one of the surprises and kind of miracles of StoryCorps. You know, we find that there's something magical about being in the booth. You know, we talked about Lily Love earlier, about that, those three people in the booth, the two people and the facilitator. And there's something about that experience, the 40 minutes with a loved one, which allows people to have conversations that they've never had before and open up and talk about things that they would never talk about otherwise. So even though people realize that this will be available in 500 years, you know, that their great-great-grandkids will listen to it, or that maybe even the whole world will listen to their story if it's chosen for broadcast, people are comfortable opening up. And I think it's because, you know, I've been thinking over the last couple of days about, you know, StoryCorps in kind of stark relief to reality TV and the fact that everyone who comes into StoryCorps is there out of an act of generosity. It's really a project very much about listening, about honoring someone who means something to you. No one who comes to StoryCorps is looking to get famous. Nobody is looking to get rich. It's just about sharing their lives and often telling someone in your life that they matter to you. So the things that happen in the booth, the things that are talked about in the booth are very personal, remarkable, and I think tell the real American story. And it's a very different story than you'd get, you know, watching the insanity of politics on TV or kind of the celebrity stuff on 24-hour cable news. So it's pretty remarkable what's happening in the booth. And the interesting thing is that when, you know, we're a human service and we're proud to partner with WABE on StoryCorps, we have had for years. You know, WABE is the southern hub of StoryCorps, and we've recorded thousands of people at WABE. And, you know, when you come to StoryCorps and you do an interview with a loved one, at the end of the interview, you have you can sign a release or not sign a release. If you don't sign the release, we are as happy as can be. Hopefully, you've had a wonderful experience, and you walk away with both CDs, and there's no record that you ever came to StoryCorps, and you have this record of your conversation. When I started StoryCorps, I thought we'd see, you know, 60-70% of the people sign the release for it to go to the Library of Congress, and the rest, because what happens in the booth is so personal, walk away with the CDs. But since 40,000 interviews later, you know, more than 99.9% of participants have signed that release. So I think the idea that it will be heard, the idea that people's stories. And these are, you know, always, it's just everyday people. It's just us that these stories will live on, that they'll go to the Library of Congress, that they'll become part of American history, that it becomes very, very important to people.
Well, you've listened to a lot of stories, a lot of love stories.
I have.
Do you think people can find love if they look for it, or that most of us meet our soulmates when we're not actively looking, when we're just, well, being ourselves?
I think that, you know, that's a great question. And I think that if you read this book, the answer is that serendipity plays a role in many of these great love stories. And I think, as you know, I think that it often is a surprise. It's often when you least expect it. It's often when you think love is just not in the cards. And then you just kind of step through this window and there it is. So, yeah, at least in these kind of 40 amazing stories, there's a lot of chance involved.
And the stories are really intense.
Yes.
I'm secure enough to admit that reading several of those, I mean, I get kind of emotional. You know, you read a story and you smile and you go, oh, what a great story that is. You read another one, you think, oh, my gosh, how terribly sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that people always talk about StoryCorps stories making them cry. And, you know, many of the StoryCorps stories, I mean, if you look at the stories in the book, there are very few that are sad. But people, even though the book is very new, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about crying when they read the book. And I think that partly it's because stories are sad. But in many other stories, I mean, I just think that what we're reading is poetry and the voices of people all around us. We're reading about humanity at its best. And, you know, when you're experiencing that, when you're experiencing something authentic in this world where we're so surrounded by phoniness and nonsense, you're almost kind of walking on holy ground. And I think many people find that to be an emotional experience. And it makes people cry, not necessarily from sadness, but kind of from the recognition of just kind of the beauty of the stories. And there's a lot of that in this book.
The professional challenge I have often on Friday morning is I've got maybe 40 seconds between the end of a poignant StoryCorps story and Frank Tavares' funding credits, and I've got to get my act together. I've got to go on the radio live.
We'll try and go easy on you, Steve.
I think you should give a little warning in the rundown that says, watch out, this one's going to be tough to follow
yeah,
up.
Yeah. I am aware that week which of the story, and I know that some of them are tough to come out of. But yeah, you know, I think just for, you know, what I like to think about on Friday morning is that just for a couple minutes, hopefully these stories kind of, you know, help center people and remind people what's really important in the kind of craziness of our day-to-day, you know, work days. Because these stories are always about the great themes of human existence. I mean, you see such an incredible kind of tapestry of stories come out of those themes. But they're about love and family and death and what really matters in life. So that's what I hope, you know, happens to people, that it kind of gets them to kind of focus for just a couple minutes on Friday morning.
Most Americans don't write like they used to in generations past. Not letters,
right.
Not diaries.
Right.
Do you think oral history is an acceptable substitute for society's written record?
Well, I think what happens with StoryCorps is that when you read this book, the word poetry comes up. You can't help but see the strength and the poetry and the beauty in these words. And I think that there are, you know, StoryCorps itself is a project about everyday people. You know, it's not, you know, some of them are writers, but not many are great writers, you know, because not many of us are great writers. And I think that there are people who can best communicate by speaking. And oftentimes those are the people whose stories you see in come out in StoryCorps. So in some ways it's a celebration of people who are able to communicate in an authentic and honest and oftentimes very, you know, simple but profound way. But yeah, I think oral history, these kind of conversations are a very powerful way to, you know, to communicate with another person, to save your story for the future, but certainly aren't a substitute for, you know, for writing and all the other wonderful ways that we can preserve our stories and communicate with one another.
Well, you've got a decade behind you now with StoryCorps. What's the
almost.
Future? Yeah, well, almost. What's the future look like for StoryCorps? What new initiatives are being planned?
You know, what we hope to do is continue to grow StoryCorps so that someday it becomes part of the fabric of this country and of you know, day-to-day lives here, and creates a society that you know, maybe we move the needle a little bit on listening and kind of recognizing that every life matters equally. So we want to have we want to stay in Atlanta and keep recording stories there and continue recording stories across America. One of the big pushes we have now that I'm really excited about is something called StoryCorps U, where we're beginning to get into some of the toughest schools in the country with high school students and creating a year-long standards-based curriculum that uses StoryCorps stories and kind of teaching the StoryCorps method to teach kids and to remind kids that their stories and their family stories matter. And we're just testing it now, and we're just seeing how powerful that is. And I think as we work to, grow StoryCorps into a sustaining national institution that we hope someday touches the lives of every American family, that educational piece will be a big part of it.
Dave Isay is the founder of StoryCorps, whose new book is called All There Is, Love Stories from StoryCorps. Dave, thank you very much, and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Steve. Great to talk to you again.